Hello, Patrick Stack here. We are on a small break at the moment, but we didn't want to leave you without anything to listen to over this festive period. So we've put together some of our favourite episodes from 2025. Hope you enjoy.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
I get racially abused, I reckon, every day. Every day, right? And, like, I'm okay because I can just handle it. What you're saying is this is people... Who could literally turn that tap off? They could f-ing turn the tap off.
Yeah.
That's Tony Armstrong. For the last year, the former AFL player has been tackling something pretty big. When it comes to the intersection of racism and sport, he's seen it all. The failed campaigns, the well-meaning but toothless initiatives. Armstrong has had enough. He's just travelled the globe to speak to influential athletes, tech pioneers, grassroots advocates and everything in between to try and chart a way forward in an increasingly insidious space. And look, in many ways, things have never looked worse. But here's the thing. Tony seems to be emerging with optimism, not fear. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Tony Armstrong is many things, a proud Gamilaroi man, a former AFL player, a TV presenter with the ABC, and this week he's launching an incredibly powerful series called Endgame. Tony, how are you, man?
Stacky, I am so good. Thanks for taking the time.
Endgame's brilliant. I've been lucky enough to see a screener. Can you maybe just share with our audience what this show is about?
Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it because we're very proud of it. A lot of work went into it. And basically the show is about what can be done to positively impact racism within sport. I guess sport is being used as a Trojan horse for us to, I guess, hopefully impact society at a larger and wider scale. But the way we go about it is we set the tone for what's racism like in Australia at the moment. How is it for our sporting heroes? Okay, so that's where we're at. Let's go overseas and let's find out what is being done to combat it. And then we basically come back to Australia towards the end of the series with some solutions in mind, and we talk to some key stakeholders about what they can do, and we challenge them around what they are and are not doing.
I've joked with you before that once you win a Logie, Tony, you could be hosting a cooking show or a dating series. You're seeking to end racism or make a meaningful impact in that space.
That's what happens after two. That's it. So after one Logie, it's cooking show. And then two, it's like solve racism. Hopefully the third is, you know, paraglide with, I don't know, the blue whales or something. I don't know.
Regardless, man, it's big. So, like, what's inspired you to take this on? It's huge.
Something has to be done, I think. And I've always felt really passionately about this. You know me away from cameras and mics, and this is something that I am passionate about. But I finally feel like I've got just enough runs on the professional board to be taken seriously. So the time felt right. And I guess the incubation of the idea happened for Steve Bibb when he was watching Panthers versus Rabbitohs. Do you remember when Latrell Mitchell got abused? That was also by a young girl, a young woman.
This is not something that Latrell just cops on the footy field. This is something that he's had to deal with his whole life. All the Indigenous people do. It's just not on. I don't understand how that happens in our day and age. I can't get my head around how a young kid thinks that that's the language to be using. I care what jersey he's wearing. And I get him out of our game.
And he's like, geez, this is like 10 years on from what happened to Goodsy. And it still happened, like almost identically. So he was like, well, let's try to find some solutions. And that's when they started talking to me about it. And it took me about a year to say yes. I think we all know that doing something like this, sticking your head up, means you're going to at least have a few cracks at being knocked off. So timing felt right.
It's a hugely personal undertaking. Have you ever put so much of yourself into a project?
Not like this, no. I've done some, like, I put like a satirical sketch out this year, and that was probably as much of myself, but a different side of myself. So that's the kind of glib, flippant, you can't get me version of the way of dealing with this topic. This one's the sort of vulnerable, I'm putting myself sort of emotionally on the line, because without doing that, I don't think this project would have sung.
You spoke to so many people across the globe. I'm kind of interested in the one that you know so well already, Adam Goods.
I mean, yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah, I can't get enough. How big was it for you to have someone so close to you involved in this? You know, guy you played footy with.
Yeah, not just played footy with. Like, my first relationship with Goodsy was parasocial. You know, he was my hero. Like, I had Goodsy posters. Because, Stacky, unfortunately, we're too old to just have, you know, Goodsy screensavers. It was posters on the wall, cutouts from the Herald Sun or whatever it might have been.
Goods, can he roll it through? He can! Cometh the moment, cometh the champion!
I'm still pinching myself that he's my friend, let alone he's in this, and he's been such a figure of strength when it comes to this topic.
You know, I'd been playing for 16 years when the booing started. I totally felt I wasn't getting any respect for the way I was verbalising my situation, how everything was happening. Mm. So sometimes you can say and do all the right things and it still doesn't work.
So to have him in the show was hugely humbling, and he plays a mentor-esque role. He's, across the course of the series, he's the only one who's really checking in on me. Which is, I mean, it speaks volumes to who he is. But yeah, having him in the show is, honestly, it's a career highlight.
One thing that you're going to need to do is make sure that you have that armor. And, you know, I think it's really, you know, brave and courageous of you to now take up the reins and say, okay, we need to keep having conversations. I'm going to keep putting my head up, knowing that, you know, it's going to get knocked off. But as long as you feel strong in who Tony Armstrong is, who your people are.
You met some incredible people as well. Usman Khawaja, Rio Ferdinand, Michael Holding among them. Yeah, was that the real pinch yourself moment? Like, who left you the most inspired? And it's a long list. It's a tough list.
I mean, like, Michael Holding was incredible. A few years ago, he had this amazing sort of piece to camera. I think the covers were on for some test match cricket over in the UK, and it was right around the fever pitch of Black Lives Matter globally. And he delivered, must have been like an 8.5 minute sort of piece to camera.
They keep on telling me there's nothing called white privilege. Give me a break. I don't see any white people going into a store on Oxford Street and being followed. A black man walks in, somebody's following him everywhere he goes. That is basic white privilege. Whether that white person went in to rob the place or not, he's not going to be thought of that way. And things like that have to change.
And I asked him about it, and he just said it almost brought me to tears. He was like, because I asked him, you know, how did you know what to say? And he's like, Tony, I've been ready to say how I feel and, you know, what I think for forever. Like, he asked permission to do that as well. He didn't just off the cuff do it. This is Michael Holding, a guy who globally could just go anywhere and sort of do what he wanted. He still, only in the last 3 or so or 4 years, felt he could speak from the heart on a platform like that. And he was just incredible. He was incredible.
I thought I would get people shouting things at me on the street. I've seen sportsmen be so affected when they have spoken out. Kaepernick comes immediately to mind. But at the same time, the reaction that I got was, I would say, 99% positive, and told me that what I said changed their way of thinking.
You must have learned so much over the course of putting this series together, whether it was people like Michael Holding or other people who maybe aren't as prominent or as famous but have been doing some incredible work around social media or ways that we can take strides to address what is such an insidious problem. What are some of the opportunities you came away with that you were like, wow, we've got real chance to make some meaningful change here?
So I think the first one is truth-telling. I just don't think the leagues do that. I don't think our governing bodies from a sports perspective actually own the problem. They still do the very Australian thing of nothing to see here. And I think once they do that, I think there's such scope. Because we're doing so little, there is actually so much. We can have those organisations like Kick It Out, which we see in the UK. We can strengthen the e-safety laws so that the e-safety commissioner can actually cease being a toothless tiger and actually have some ability to make some meaningful change. The clubs themselves, the leagues themselves, could actually be leaders rather than agnostic. But I think it all starts from the truth-telling piece. Once we get that right, I think we can move forward with some strength.
First this hour, a man has been found guilty of racially abusing former Manchester United defender Rio Ferdinand whilst he was working as a pundit at Molineux back in 2021.
Education is a huge factor. I think the lack of education, like you go, listen, there's a racist generation that we're never going to be able to change.
Yeah.
We're never going to get to.
Yeah.
Because they are what they are now, and it's just ingrained in
stuck them. Stuck in their ways.
But maybe their best people to educate them are their kids. If we equip that young kid with the right education and the right ability to be able to talk and communicate about racism in that room, in their environment, when they can hear it and they can call out and go, well, what do you mean? What are you talking? That's archaic thinking, that.
Yeah, watching the series, like, I was blown away by how advanced some of these conversations are in places like the UK. And it kind of made me a little bit embarrassed, a little bit shameful about where Australia's at. But it also kind of made me hopeful because... You know, there's levers it feels like that we can pull. Did you walk away from the series feeling overall more, you know, weighed down, or were you kind of lifted up and optimistic?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I went into this, I'm such a cynical person, and particularly with this subject matter, but I came out of it, I was so happy to have my own hypothesis going in shattered. I came out hopeful, but it's going to take a lot more than just me. It's going to take a lot of people moving collectively, but I'm hopeful, and I believe in the power of sport and Australia to actually tell the truth about where we're at and then move forward.
Endgame airs on ABC TV Tuesday this week. You can catch the whole series on iView. Get it when you want to watch it. Tony, thanks so much. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime, Stacky.
Hope you enjoyed that. We will be back with fresh episodes January 5. See you then. Thanks to Sky Sports UK and Channel 7 for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.